Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
An Erio's original.
Welcome to Foxy Browns. I'm Priyanka.
And I'm Camilla. And this is a podcast that navigates beauty and wellness from our perspectives as women of color.
This week, like every week, we're talking stuff and things, tips and tricks, and deconstructing Western beauty standards. And this week, we're joined by special guest Kara Brown. Kara is a writer. She is Vogue's favorite fancy pasta bitch, if you follow her blog. Until recently, co-hosted Keep It.
I did.
On Crooked Media. Mm-hmm. And now you're off to your own ventures. Is there anything you want to add to your intro?
Pasta, I'm here. I've switched over into lip gloss. That feels like an important update in my life.
Are you vlogging about it, or that's just a thing?
No, so I just want to say it now on the podcast, because there probably won't be a blog or a tweet.
It's very dear. I have, as long as I've known you, you have been a matte lipstick wearer.
Yes.
This
exciting. I haven't fully switched over, but I think for the summer, I keep reaching for the gloss.
Oh, we're going to dive right into stuff and things in like just a second, but we do have to do one thing, which is we have to ask you, listener, to open your little podcast app, subscribe, rate, and write a review. Just do it right now. Rate us 5 stars. And if you don't think it's 5 stars after you're done listening, we'll change the rating ourselves. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yes.
It's true. So, stuff and things.
Yes.
Lip gloss. Have you bought anything, done anything that you're super excited about in the last week, in the last few weeks?
So, I bought the Fenty. So, when Fenty first came out, she had a lip gloss. Like the Fenty Cosmetics Gloss Bomb or something like that.
Yep.
And I bought it and I actually returned it. And I felt terrible. Rihanna, don't listen. I kept the other stuff. But then I was in Sephora one day and they had a different shade that was like a little pinker. And I feel like, so one of the things for me, like when you have like brown lips, mm-hmm. like when it's just glossy, it's mm-hmm. not, I don't know, like I like a little color. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes like I'll put on lip liner and like fill in my lips to like make it more of like mm-hmm. a colorful lip gloss. But this one had like a little pink to it.
Of course she did.
And of course, because she knew.
She knew.
And I tested
it. She heard
it.
You.
She heard me.
She was like, someone returned it. What was the issue?
I know, I was the only person to return a Fenty Beauty product.
Yeah.
But
so she fixed it and she sent it back
out. She did. Because she cares. And
not
I
about
love
giving
it.
Us new music, but she cares about our faces.
But new lip gloss.
We'll forgive her. We'll forgive her.
But I've been wearing it all the time and I love it.
So why the change from I have not embraced lip gloss yet, but people seem to be super into it.
We're having a real 90s moment with the lip gloss thing. I really do think
but
it's
the sticky,
I think
that's what but it the sticky.
It's super sick.
I don't
your hair
love the
gets
sticky.
Stuck in it.
Yeah. I will say it's less convenient. I don't love the sticky. Uh-huh. But I'm willing for the summer. Also, I love matte lipstick, but in the summer, it always felt like a little wrong, mm-hmm. even though I liked it. Like, mm-hmm. I would do brighter colors, but it was like, it just felt a little hot mm-hmm. for a matte lipstick.
Well, to mention mm-hmm. as well that matte lipsticks tend to be very drying after a while, and you kind of get to that chronic stage during summer, and it's very, you know, I mean, it's Los Angeles, it's a very dry heat.
Yeah, so, and if you're like out all day, it's kind of not, it's less comfortable. So
there might also be like a little thing with the lip gloss where you're like, yes, this takes a lot of maintenance, but I'm willing to like, I'm a girl that takes care of myself. Yeah.
Also, it's easy. You can apply it without looking.
That's true. Yeah.
That's
can't do that.
A
without,
very
yeah.
good point. Yeah. I never thought about that.
You can do it in the back mm-hmm. of an Uber. Yep. It doesn't matter. If
you don't have to like spark up your phone and try to like turn on the car light to get, use it as a mirror. You can just wipe it on.
I never even. Okay. So the product is this Fenty. What's the color? Do you know?
I'll look it up.
Okay. We're gonna look it up and get it. that's your stuff and thing. Do you have a stuff and thing, Camilla?
Let's see. What have I been using this week? I just discovered that Yves Lom have started making sheet masks. And obviously, everyone is in the sheet mask game. And but these ones are particularly excellent.
Wait, hold on. Yves, is this a British thing? I don't know.
Yes. Yves Lom is a British skincare line. I see. And she, they first started the line with the Balm Cleanser, which basically is a kind of oily cleanser that you apply to your face and then kind of take off with a warm muslin cloth. Okay. And it's a very, it's a slightly fancy line. So these sheet masks, a little pricey.
What's the price?
You fancy?
She knows where to cut corners. Yeah. She probably gets them at the airport.
I did get them at the airport, Priyanka. You know I did. I was about to get on an 11-hour flight, and I accidentally put my sheet masks in my checked luggage.
Oh.
But luckily, I was at duty free, and so they were discounted.
Uh-huh.
They were £35 for four.
I was going to say each.
No, that would
cheaper than a facial.
Yeah, exactly.
Facial.
And I emerged from this 11-hour flight with a very dewy face, which never happens.
No breakouts? I always break out on flights.
I didn't have a breakout on the plane. I'm currently in the middle of like an odd breakout as I'm readjusting to Los Angeles. Mm. I'm currently wearing a little zit sticker on my face. Sticker.
Honestly, but do you think it's maybe the universe saying, Camilla, you had a perfect month of life, like a truly perfect month of living.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? Here's a zit just to remind you you're human.
Just to humble you.
Yeah, just to humble you.
1,000%. This is what this zit is. I mean, it could also be the fact that I've spent a month drinking wine and Campari spritz every single. That's definitely not it.
Alcohol kills germs.
It does. Yeah. You're correct. This is science. Yeah. So yeah, Yves Lom sheet masks. Excellent. Little treat.
Quickly, the lip gloss. It's called Fenty Glow.
Fenty Glow
is the color. Right.
All right. And are they? Do they come add in other colors?
They come in other colors. Like so the one that I have, it's like a little. I would say it's like a rose goldy one, and they have like a super clear one. They have a really pink one, but this is more of. It's got a little brown, little rose gold.
All right, I'm gonna try that.
Yeah,
mine is not nearly so glamorous or exotic, but I also have been dealing with a lot of breakouts lately. I don't know what's going on. Is it the change in weather?
Could be the change in weather.
It's all around my my mouth. In my chin. Usually, it's like this hormonal zone on my chin, and then also like my mustache area, which is so hot.
That's a bummer.
And the only thing that's working is an old throwback. You know how when you dust off an old product?
Yeah,
you're like, I don't know.
Isn't this great? Used to work? Free shopping in your own house. I love
it. So I dusted off my tub of Aztec healing.
Oh, pie. Yeah.
Do you know what? I also have a tub of this that I have not used for a long time.
Yes, and if you make a paste of it, it's bentonite clay.
Yeah.
It soaks up oil in like large volumes, and I just smear it on my face while I'm getting ready in the morning, and then I take a shower to wash it all off, and the zits are gone. The inflammation is shrink. I don't know what
this
it is.
This is
magical.
I'm going to go and pull out my dusty tub of this that is underneath my sink.
Then that, which shrinks everything and makes the redness go away, and then the Differin gel. Have you ever? It used to be a prescription.
Yeah.
It used to be a prescription, but you can buy the Differin gel over the counter, and it just like speeds up cell turnover. So you just kind of smear it wherever you're having problems, and it keeps your pores clear.
Excellent. I'm going to buy this product.
That's my acne regimen.
When you use the bentonite clay, do you mix it with water or do you do it with the apple cider vinegar?
I do it with water.
Yeah.
I just am lazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Water is readily available
in my
bathroom.
Yeah.
I could try the other because I guess the acid must help.
I guess it does.
I've never tried it with apple cider vinegar.
That's the only way I've done it before, but I didn't realize. Yeah, because you do it with water too. But I tend to also have apple cider vinegar. I have one in the kitchen and then one in the bathroom as well. It's also very good for dealing with vaginal imbalances.
Really?
Which
you're
also
like recalibrating your flora.
Exactly.
A phrase I love to use. A little wipe.
A quarter of a cup in a bath and you're good.
Takes care
of
everything.
You know what that reminds me of? I was on Sephora one day and they were selling, so I mostly use apple cider vinegar to rinse my hair. So like after I've had braids in for a while, when you need to like
get into really the scalp.
Do like a, yeah, get into the scalp, deep do a clean. Deep clean. I do an apple cider vinegar rinse and it like gets everything out. Uh-huh. I saw an apple cider vinegar rinse at Sephora for like $30.
Shut up.
And I was like, what? Because it was clearly also like white girls who don't know.
Of course.
And I'm like, who is buying this? Like you can.
Fools.
I'm like, what is it? $4 at the grocery store?
You get $4 and you get two like of them from Whole Foods if you get a coupon.
Is this $30 rinse just a bottle of apple cider vinegar?
I mean, I assume
and water, so they water it down.
Yeah, probably water
it down,
which is
an even better scam.
I'm mad we didn't think of it, honestly.
I'm cross.
I could sell a lot of things at Sephora. Was there any DIY tips and tricks, any stuff handed down from your family, any inventions, stuff that you've made up?
Inventions. I actually started doing this before it became a thing. I don't remember
of
what they called it.
You're a trendsetter.
In like beauty magazines, but where you mix masks. So I've always had. So basically like my forehead is usually oily.
Same.
The rest of my face, like I would say like my cheek area is usually kind of dry. And then like around my chin, it is like a toss up.
Mm-hmm.
So you do like on the top.
I believe the industry
like
calls it
mask.
Combination skin.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would do like a clay mask on the on the forehead and then on my cheeks I would do maybe like a cream one, like a different one. And so you put those on at the same time so it's targeting just what you need for the area.
So what are the your go-to masks?
Yeah.
Let's see. There is a Origins like rose clay mask.
Oh, I've heard of this. It's very good.
That's very good. Excellent. So that's what I would do on like the forehead
T-zone.
Situation.
Yeah.
T-zone, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like I usually just do Manuka honey.
Elsewhere. Really?
Yeah. Huh. I bought a very expensive jar of honey on Amazon and it's good for breakouts too.
Oh, right, really? It's a disinfectant.
It's like
right?
an antibacterial thing. Yeah. But I put that on and you leave it on for like 30 minutes.
And just straight up Manuka honey.
Put it on.
That's incredible.
I think people mix this it with things, good. But it's like too many steps.
For a while, wasn't like who's the oldest Kardashian? The oldest and tiny one.
Kourtney.
Kourtney.
Yeah.
She shilling a Manuka honey based beauty line a little while ago.
Sounds about right.
I mean, she's the laziest Kardashian. She's the one who is not pulling her weight.
Imagine their inboxes. Everyone just being like, "Will you sponsor this or will you talk about this?" And they're like, "Sure."
And she's like,
"They're just like,
I'm
how much?
Over
how
it.
Much?
Yeah.
How much? How much?" Right? It must
Pretty
be
much.
Every product under the sun.
Yeah.
You guys are basically best friends. So it seems a little silly to say, like, where are you from? Tell us a spiel. But maybe some of our listeners might not know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, where I'm from.
Yeah.
I grew up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I lived on the East Coast for about 7 years, went out for college, stayed in New York for a bit, came back here. I've been in LA about 5 years. I'm a writer. I'm around.
Is your
things.
Family still in Seattle?
My dad and my grandmother and his sister are still in Seattle. My mom lives in Louisiana, which is where she's from.
Oh,
and she had moved back after my sister graduated high school. And then my sister lives in the Bay Area.
Oh, is she older or younger?
Younger. Younger, but taller.
Oh,
she's been taller than me since I was
so
like 14.
Rude. Yeah, that's so rude.
Yeah.
Did you grow up mostly with your mom or with your...
My parents divorced when I was like 15.
Oh, okay.
So, and then it was a full, very amicable 50-50 split. So it was literally like a week on, a week off.
Oh, wow.
You seem
very well adjusted.
You know, I am. It's this is something that I find, it's not the kindest thing, but like, whenever people are talking about like divorce and things like that, and it's just like, but the children, I'm like, they're probably fine.
Yeah.
Like it's, as long as you don't make it awful, like they're probably fine. So, and my parents had a very chill divorce, at least as far as we saw.
Right.
And like my dad still came over for, like Christmas and Thanksgiving.
That's amazing.
For
the deeply well adjusted.
Yeah. So
it's the model.
Yeah. We were fine. We were all like at a wedding together a few years ago.
Oh, that's
we
really
were
nice.
My birthday party, like
which
my parents
was very fun.
My parents were there. Both Aww. Of them were there.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
So how are you super close to your mom? We always find with our guests that like we ask this question, like who defined your standards of beauty as you were growing up, but did that all and everyone says my mom. So we kind of have to like change
the question. Yeah.
Is it your mom?
I think it wasn't exactly my mom, but it was like the influences from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like my parents were very conscious about giving me black women to just look at.
Okay.
So like very great. Early. Yeah, exactly.
like very simple, like, yeah. But also an like a neglection.
Yeah.
Like parading them through the house. Yeah. So like
making me aware. Like uh-huh. I remember like Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Right.
Because I also had asthma when I was uh-huh. little. And so they were like, here's this woman who's this incredible track star. And like she looked obviously like incredible, you know.
Yeah.
Like, or not, sorry, Flo-Jo.
Uh-huh.
Flo-Jo, who had asthma. And you know, with the nails and the outfits and whatever. Yeah. So they were just like, look at this cool black lady mm-hmm. and she's doing things. So they were very like there's a picture of me with
how like progressive and systematic of them, by the yeah. way. It was kind of genius. What did they're like child psychologists. What
no,
they do?
They're not at all.
What did they just do? Were,
my mom stayed home with us and my dad does finance, like he worked at Microsoft.
Interesting.
But there's a picture of me when I'm probably like 2 or 3 years old, like very young, with my grandfather, and they had taken me to see a black either Miss USA or Miss America. So whatever year it was, there was a black woman.
How
and
amazing.
They like, you know, it's a beauty queen, which yeah. in retrospect,
but stop, look, they're yeah. doing the best they can with the resources that are available.
But yeah, they were just like shoving me in front of like, yeah. look at this woman yeah. and all of that. So I feel like a lot of it was them just letting me know and like putting black women who like we thought were beautiful. And also on, it's sort of, you know, that the world also acknowledges beautiful,
yeah.
which is like not ideal, but I yeah. think it's important to see people where just like everyone knows that this woman is beautiful and she's black. And like, it doesn't mean that's the most important thing, but mm-hmm. it is helpful for when you're trying to like build your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Were your parents are like high maintenance, or were they like, people who pulled like prided themselves on their appearance, or?
Yeah. Like we were in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom did the like, my mom drove a cream Escalade.
I mean, what? Why did we not begin with that?
With 22s.
Wow.
Which is like the car I learned to drive on. So I would just be like driving to school with an Escalade.
No. That's really good.
And
I love the story of black privilege that you're doing. Yeah, I know, right? Beautiful.
I'm really enjoying it. I know. It's the American dream.
Oh my gosh. But my mom was in, like, she did this very, like, the leggings, like, mom kind of like cool sneaker. Like, I remember my friend in college, I came to like the library one day or something. I was in like a leggings and like a kind of longer, like, crew neck hoodie thing, and my friend goes, you look like a Jack and Jill mom. Which was like what my so Jack and Jill,
which yeah. I only just learned about recently.
Yeah, it's like American, a very American cast. Thing yeah. Jack and Jill is basically a social club that was started by affluent black people in like oh. the 40s or 50s
oh.
or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was you get in through the mothers, so that's who like applies. And it was basically, it was initially for black families in cities where their kids didn't necessarily go to school together. Yeah. So it was a way for them to come together connect. With other kids that were like them. Now it's like,
wait, it's a club for rich black families.
Essentially, yes.
Yes, okay. exactly. Yes. And it's okay. also, there's lots of kind of enrichment programs and things
yeah.
like that,
yeah.
and kind of like, you know, ski trips, and yeah. then they have like, you know, cotillions and that sort of thing.
My sister did
and,
a yeah. cotillion
yeah.
with this the white incredible. Dress and the yeah. whole thing.
And there's also a lot of like romantic matchmaking that the mothers do to also try and
really?
Get that. See, this is yeah. like the Indian
really?
Mother in Priyanka.
No, this is. Yeah, I'm so yeah. excited.
Yeah. As soon as I
is
said
there like a message board? Like, how do they matchmake?
It's like, how can I get in on this?
I'm always just outside. Being like, hello, Black Twitter. It's me, your friend.
You would like, you should watch. There's a movie called Something New.
Probably.
Where
yeah.
she,
I just watched this on a plane.
Did you really?
I did.
What is it? Maybe
it
I've
was
seen
ridiculous.
It.
It's Sanaa Lathan, who is sort of like an uptight black lady. Who's,
I've seen this
who's
movie.
With Alfred
yeah,
Richard
yeah,
mom,
yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, and she
yeah.
comes from this very, like, her family's, I don't know that they call it Jack and Jill, but that's yeah. what it is. She meets Simon Baker.
Yes, it's it? Simon Baker.
Who's
it is.
A
it's
white
so
gardener.
It's so late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, and he
he's
helps her.
He's a white gardener.
Yeah, he's doing the landscaping on her house. They fall in love. And like, I don't remember the exact ending, but I feel like it's something like she goes to the cotillion and like, I don't know if he shows, I think he I shows can't. Up. That's what it is. He shows up and he like doesn't have, it's in, they're in tails. Like,
oh
you know, that
I
formal.
Truly, I realized now that I was I six remember. Glasses of plain wine in.
Was that the
I
ending?
The,
do you remember?
I have no idea.
I don't remember either. I remember watching it and loving it. Something New. So is this Something New? A white, like, it's a white guy?
That's something new.
Okay. But he helps her. Like, I remember there's actually, I feel like Hannah at The Atlantic wrote about this. I don't know if she did it when she was writing about a specific movie, but about this sort of trope of like when a black woman like discovers herself, she starts wearing her natural hair. It's a very like late 90s, early 2000s thing. So in the movie, Sonal Ethan wears like whatever, her weave, and then she falls in love with this white man and starts wearing her natural hair, which is quite clearly still like
fake hair.
Not her hair. Fake news. Like any black person would be like, that's clearly not her hair. Yeah. But it's sort of the sign that she's loosening up or whatever. Yep. Right. And I can't think of all the examples, but it's absolutely like if you went through the canon of like black woman romantic comedy things, you're going to find something like that. Because then Sanaa did that movie where she cut off all her hair too.
That I know, and I was suddenly just getting like, quite confused.
Napoli Ever After.
That's it. Oh my gosh. really called a film that.
There are some really good reviews.
A marketing department at Netflix got together and said this should be the name of the film.
We're moving forward with that.
Incredible.
So that's like a Jack and Jill vibe is what you're saying.
Something new was a Jack and Jill vibe.
Interesting.
Jack and Jill as I'm kind of, you know, quite new to it and learning about it. But it's, what was I found quite fascinating about it as well, that there was a lot of internal politics about the standards of joining Jack and Jill. And at the very beginning, it was you were very favored if you were light skinned and that basically, you know, could pay, you know, pass the paper bag test. And
it's codified. That's not like written down.
It's not written down. It's implied.
It's like if you look around the room, you're like, oh, everyone's the same color.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It's very, very fascinating. And there's also the other thing as well, as and obviously because I know you personally, but you know, you and your sister are very different, of very different like shades of black. Yeah. And your sister is very like very light skinned, mm-hmm. and you have the most luxuriously dark skin. When you were growing up, you know, was there a point at which you ever kind of noticed the difference in the way that you were treated as sisters because of that colorism, or is it not something that ever kind of came up?
I don't know if it was I noticed how we were treated, but I used to tell her when I would get mad at her that she was adopted.
Perfect.
Because my sister is very, very light. The rest of my family were about that. My parents, my immediate family were about the same color. However, my mom is from Louisiana. Mm. And so it's like a mixture of like French Creole people. Right. So my grandmother is very, very light. And then my grandmother married and had kids with a very dark-skinned man. And that was like my mother and her siblings. So if you look at what my mom's oldest sister, she also has two daughters. And one is darker than me, but like a brown-skinned woman. And then the other one is really light, like Lindsay.
Yeah.
So, and then she has a daughter. So we always joke that my sister is actually our cousin's, the mother of my cousin's child, because they all just look the same. So if you look at our family, you know, and we have members on my mom's side who are light. Yeah. And then you have others. This is just the way we came out. Right. So I always actually used to wish that my parents had a third child, because I wonder if it would have come out looking like Lindsay or looking like me.
Right.
And she's talked about this before, where like she had felt like discriminated is maybe not the word, but she had felt like kind of the fact that she was light was something maligned, that was like used against her.
Well, because you told her she was
I told her she was adopted.
She's like, I don't know why, but I have this strange feeling
that I don't belong in my body own
whenever
home.
Anyone talks about my skin tone.
So weird.
Did she believe you?
No, because then my parents would be like, no, you're not. Like, then they, you know, they have pictures of her at the hot. Because I feel like I asked my dad once. I was like, did you ever like wonder? He was like, no, Kara.
Did you ever wonder?
You're like, dad, just level with me.
Yeah, I was like, dude, when she came out.
Are we sure that she is really?
For a second, were you maybe like. And he was like, you're terrible.
Girl, that's bad. This would be a very weird way to find out that he's not her dad.
Yeah, correct. It is very interesting seeing the genetic kind of passes within black families. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I mean, you guys were just at my wedding and you met two of my uncles who are basically visibly white.
Right.
And they are half black. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because my mother obviously, you know, looks like a black woman. Mm-hmm. And they often talked about, you know, and still talk about like the people will approach them and say the most racist things to them, really? Assuming that they're white.
Yeah.
And Will, it's like, you're on my side. It's like, I'm literally half black. I can't believe you're saying this.
Is that what people are doing? People are just walking around saying racist things to strangers about other races. This is happening in the world.
They're just not telling us, Brianna. Yeah. That's why we don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess I'm so naive. It's because I have an idea.
Because I've got two men on the inside. That's the only reason I know. Yeah.
I guess so.
No,
guess
you know, for all of the, I mean, I feel like now it's a little taboo, whatever, to reference the Cosby Show. But something that I always appreciated about it was you had this range of skin colors in one black family. And I feel like I can remember white people being like, that's what's happening there. But like, that's very possible. Like, if you looked at my family, we have someone who looks like my sister. We very well could have had two light skinned people. You have my parents, you have me. So like, it's, and my dad will always say this about like black people. He's just like, you really do not know what you're going to get when this kid comes out. Cause it's just, you know, like I like your uncles, like I have friends who are half black and they just really look like white people.
Yeah. My uncle looks like Ray Liotta. It's very strange.
But you know, you just, but then if he, you know, they have a kid and that kid could look like me, you just he's like, it is, my dad's like, every time that kid comes out, it is like, let's see. What we like, buckle up.
What
like,
a genetic lottery. Yeah.
It is also, all of the cousins in my family, all of the children when born were blonde. Very blonde. It's very interesting. And then at about like 1 year old, they're like, JK, I'm black.
But the black jeans are like, bitch, you thought. Yeah, and they just... I love the idea of like the white and the black jeans fighting in the body. And the black jeans are like, you're not going to get the hair. They're going to sunburn, but we're getting that curl pattern.
Aww. And when they need the sun protection, and they're like little tiny. Well, that's babies.
We went on vacation once with my, like, the first, like, real vacation we went on to Hawaii, and my parents didn't put sunscreen on my sister because they didn't know. And she got so burnt.
Oh, no.
And the thing that I remember most was I was so mad because we were like sharing a bed, you know, because we were children, and I had to sleep on the couch because they let her have the bed. They just like,
wow, the light skin privilege.
The light skin privilege. They put aloe on her. They're like, she needs to sleep in the bed alone. And I was like, what is this?
Because she's like,
because you guys didn't parent properly. I got to sleep on the couch.
But still thinking about it.
I know.
But you know, they scar.
They just really didn't know. They were like, we didn't realize we had to do this.
I'm confused in the same way because like, I don't necessarily have to take care of Rodney's skin. He's a white person. but my son is brown, quite brown. And he could just kind of, I do put sunscreen on. Yeah. But my daughter is like a sheet of paper white. Yeah. And it's so confusing. So I'm like,
what do I
do? I gotta cover her up. Yeah. Like constantly. So we're going on vacation next week and I don't know.
They need white people have to use a lot of
like
skin protection.
So much, right? So I got one of those bathing suits, unfortunately, sleeves, because I love the chub showing, but I got the full body.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to squeeze her into one of those.
Get a hat?
A pretty intense hat.
It is tough with sun damage with children as well, because your adult risk of skin cancer goes up something like 400% if you've ever been sunburnt as a child. Yeah. So,
and we all get our sun damage before 18. So I'm like, I just follow her around with a pen.
Every day. She's an indoor kid now.
I throw like the sun protection. I throw SPF whatever on my face. Yeah. I'm just not used to like taking care of an incredibly pale person.
You're going to have to relocate to England.
Yeah.
For her, probably.
Yeah.
We should. She's worth it.
She's totally worth it. She is.
I have a theory that when you're a young woman growing up in the world, any woman really, that the world kind of tells you that you're pretty or smart or funny. And then you like take one and you run with it. And then you spend the rest of your life like kind of chasing after the other two. What do you think was your thing?
What the world told me.
What the kind of like feedback you got from the world? Like as you were growing up, like did the world tell, which one did the world like
I feel
lay
like,
on you thick?
I feel like early it was probably smart. Mm-hmm. And then it was probably pretty.
The car is a very attractive woman.
So beautiful. Also very smart, but like.
Also very smart. We know she's very, very smart.
Exceptionally beautiful.
Just the angles on her face.
It's crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Who do you look like? Do you look at your mom or your dad?
I look like a real mix of my mom and my dad. Like I look more like if you see me with my mom, I think we look alike. But my sister and I have like the same face shape.
Yeah.
Just like different colors, yeah. But we look pretty similar.
What I don't understand about you, Kara, is that it's impossible to take a bad photo of you.
It's
because you might not like them.
You're right.
You know, but I feel like you could drop a, it's like Italy. Yeah. Like you could drop your phone and take a good picture in Italy.
Your face is Italy. Yeah. That's what we've just decided.
It's like you can drop your phone and take a great picture of Kara. It's just true. The bone structure.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Look, I mean, sorry. No.
It's not only is it the bone structure, it's also that Kara has some of the greatest skin that you've ever seen. To the point that Kara also is the author of a legendary Google document, which documents her entire skincare routine.
Oh, yes. We not brought this up yet.
It is incredible. And she very graciously started giving it to people for free, which I thought was a mistake. I was like, I would have...
Lock it behind a paywall. Absolutely.
Completely paywall. Yeah. And it is... I mean, it is excellent.
What did you write that for?
I wrote it just because...
People kept asking right. What do you do with your face?
And I needed to like... It was just an easy way. I literally just
She was like, oh, here you go, peasants.
I just texted a bunch of girlfriends like, do you want this? I'll send it to you. And then it started like making the rounds. And it was a private Google Doc. And then I started getting like so many requests.
Right.
So then I wrote about it for Shondaland, I think that's where. Right. Yeah. So it's like out there. It's shifted a little. It changes as your skin changes.
But also, they have to start with the baseline of your skin. That's what I don't
First of all, be born beautiful. Like, yeah, step
they're like,
one.
How do I make my skin look like yours? And they're like, you can't because it's my skin. So you just get, you should have charged everyone, first of all. So you think early on you were like, I'm a smart girl. Then you were like, oh, and I'm also pretty.
Yeah. But you know, the interesting thing was I went to a small private school. Mm-hmm. I was one of, for all intents and purposes, the only black girl in my class. And I didn't necessarily, like, with my girlfriends, I felt pretty.
Yeah.
And like one of the things, like I remember, I think it was my freshman year, there was a dance that I didn't get asked to. Mm. And I just remember like, being in my bathroom and I was like, these fucking dummies. I was like, my dad had said this, like we lived in Dallas until I was 7 and he was like, raising a black girl in the South, I wanted to make sure that you had a lot of self-esteem. And then his punchline is always, but I think I went too far. But I always like felt good about myself. Yeah. So even when I felt like I was in this environment where like my best friend was a brown skinned Indian woman, girl, we were children. And she and I felt that like, you know, like all of the like blonde girls were getting picked for things. Yeah. And like, she was the only person I could like share makeup with and colors and things like that. And so even when I wasn't getting it necessarily from like that environment, I was still like,
I'm the shit.
Yeah, I was like, they'll catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is, I think. And that's a feeling that maybe we're all familiar with. Like also having been the only like brown girl, one of two in my grade or whatever, was like, I feel sorry for you. Yeah. Like,
I cannot believe you're sleeping on this.
No.
Yeah.
You could buy low right now. Yeah. You know? It's wild. It's so wild. But that confidence that carries you through is like, I mean, that's everything, right?
Yeah, and I think it was also because like the environment that my parents had sort of built for me. And I remember saving like the Victoria's Secret catalogs with like Naomi and Tyra and like looking at these. I was like, these are the most beautiful people on earth.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, not that I look like them, but you know what I mean? But I was like, I look like them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, even if the, like, and I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
So like these other people who don't get it, I'm like, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not wrong about this, clearly.
Yeah.
I have empirical evidence.
Yeah.
But I'm hot. So
no, absolutely, these women are hot, and I look like them. So
yeah,
ergo, QED. Absolutely, no, that makes total sense. And I remember looking. I just remember so clearly that feeling of looking around and being like, Tiffany. Everyone's into her.
I know.
What? Why? She's like boring, and she's kind of dumb. And I don't get it.
Sunburns
easily. She looks like everyone else at school.
Yeah. I thought that. I mean, I'm thinking of a name that I won't say because I guess she could potentially hear this. But there was like the girl in...
Your Tiffany.
Yeah, my Tiffany. And she... And
you can say a name, we'll bleep it.
And everyone was obsessed with her. And she was like a... You know when some people look better in middle... Like the best she looked was middle school.
Oh, that's a rough time to peak.
So on one hand, I'm like, whatever. She got her shine then because it wasn't going to come later. But she, you know, she was like fine looking. She just was... unassuming and she had blonde hair and it was like an easy thing to like. And I feel like I have to assume that's what like prepubescent boys were.
They do. Into. Men really like accessibility, allegedly. You can be too beautiful.
Yeah, but then there are the special ones who like the complicated ladies. And those are the ones
why
we
marry them.
That's why we seek them out and berate them into marrying us.
You're not married to like the kid from your seventh grade geography class.
I will say, I had a crush. My first school crush was this guy. I'm not gonna name his name. We're friends on Facebook. So nice. He would like got really good grades. He was like the captain of the soccer team. He like was doing everything right, and he was so cute. And we were friendly, and then he started dating this girl who was so pointless. And I was like, she smokes cigarettes, and we're like 14. This seems crazy to me. Like, what is her? She's gonna die. And then I stopped talking to him, of course. And even though he sat next to me in every class, I was just like froze him out for like 2 years.
Like a bitch.
And then I moved. I moved to the U.S. and I remember super clearly my last day of school. I like picked up my textbooks after earth science or something, and I went outside and he was waiting for me.
Oh my gosh.
And he walked me to my locker.
Oh my god.
And he said, I'm really gonna miss you. And I said, thanks. I said thanks, and then I moved on with my life, and I thought about him like every day for a year. And then when Facebook was invented, he like found, I mean, he's like, you know,
and his name
happy.
Is Rodney.
I know, wouldn't that be wonderful? And then he found me and he was just like, I always wondered what happened to you. Like, you were such a, it's so nice to see you doing. He's just like a mensch, you know, he's just like the nicest
that's
man.
So I was
like,
infuriating.
And I was like, I was pretty good for like a 14-year-old girl. Yeah. Everyone was a keeper. All my crushes.
Damn.
I know. Even though they none of my teens crushes who smoke cigarettes.
I know. I was like, whatever happened to her?
First of all, I was a teen who smoked cigarettes and it was really cool. I since quit. It's fine.
The goth teen with the cigarettes. We'll never get over goth cam.
This is the thing. She won't let me share the
pictures. Oh, they haven't seen the picture.
We need 500 five-star reviews.
Yeah.
So in like 3 years, we'll share
I will make people. 500 Gmail accounts. I will buy bots.
The pictures
and you
are,
will
have
get
you
your.
Seen,
yes.
You seen?
Yes.
They need to
they
be
were
shared
incredible.
With the world.
I know.
If you want to see Camilla in a like a pleather mini dress,
don't even describe it.
I won't.
Guys, I think
that's
you can
just
buy
my memory
I think
of
bots
it.
Bots are like $50. Yeah. Someone, a listener who knows how to do this.
Yeah. We need 500 five-star reviews.
Get it together, guys. I'll send you the pic. It's on my phone. It's on my phone. It's right
the confidence
here.
Confidence of a cigarette-smoking, right goth, black, British teenager. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We got to see so much of it when we were... I mean, we should talk about your wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
Camilla, your wedding. I've been dying to talk about it.
We did a lot.
It happened.
I really had a four-day wedding.
You planned like the Camilla planned the Bollywood wedding of my dreams. It was so many days. It was in a different country.
It was.
So basically, me and my other half, we wanted to have a
you
wedding
still
that
won't
was.
Call
on
your
he is on Twitter. He is my live-in lover.
I'm very aware.
I think I asked you before. I was like, once the wedding happens, is Doug still going to be that?
And I was like, yes, he will still be my live-in lover.
Right now, he's been demoted to other half.
Well,
which
indoors,
implies no affection.
Him indoors is also very... Love him very, very much. Committed to a whole lifetime with him. So because so many of our our family members and friends are from different parts of the world, like he's from the East Coast, I'm from England, but we live in California, we knew that wherever we were going to have the wedding, people would be traveling. So having it in England... we wanted it to be residential so that we could have a whole weekend with people, because it always felt a bit horrible to make people fly approximately 11 hours for just like one day of things.
Yeah.
So we found this incredible estate, this 5,000 acre estate that housed basically all 110 of our guests, and took it over for a weekend and for me, I kind of wanted it to feel like so much of our lives are at music festivals. He works in music and I like to go to a lot of concerts and festivals with him. So I kind of wanted it to feel like a mini festival. So we had this weekend with lots of different like activities and food and
wine.
Yeah,
lots of
so
wine.
Much wine.
The amount of natural wines that
I purchased. Do you know how many
bottles? Total bottles of wine we went through might be, I think it was about 600.
Oh my God!
No.
Oh
possibly. My
God. That's six bottles a person.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In 3 days.
Actually, yeah. That feels right.
That feels about right. And that actually, and I don't think that's including the champagne that my grandmother bought. She was so offended for a second because we said that we were going to get Prosecco for the toast. And she was like, absolutely not on my watch. And then bought so much Moët.
There was so
ridiculous.
Much champagne.
It was
like everywhere I turned.
Well, the thing that you missed on the Sunday night was that for you fools who left early, was after the pizza bus. Yes, I had a double-decker pizza bus at the wedding. I went to the walk-in wine fridge and realized that we had 20-odd bottles of Moët left, and along with all the natural wines, which couldn't be returned. God. And so I basically went around the entire estate and made everyone finish them all.
Oh my God.
We got very, very drunk. I also, because we had this great kind of stone basement, which I put a karaoke room in.
Yes. That wasn't already there?
No. That was my idea.
But it was added the karaoke.
Yeah, so it was a screening room for watching movies. And basically I thought, well, that's really boring. Why not rent a karaoke situation to come in? And also the wonderful man who came in who runs the karaoke company is actually deaf, which was remarkable.
Wow.
So when he showed up and he was wearing double hearing aids, and I was like, this is an amazing job.
Yeah.
The food was amazing. The alcohol was amazing.
The scenery was
beautiful.
Also,
the houses were gorgeous.
Can we talk about the champagne wall?
That was really something.
We walk in the dinner on Friday night.
The hog roast.
And I remember like walking
the traditional Jewish hog roast.
There was falafel.
As
a vegan option.
For our one kosher family member.
Which is lovely. That's so nice of you to accommodate them.
I remember walking into the area and I see this like wall built. And I'm like, oh, and it's got like ivy and stuff. I was like, oh, that's nice. Is it for pictures or something? And then I get a little closer and I'm like, oh, are those glasses? And you get closer and you're like, this bitch got a wall of champagne. And then down at the bottom is just like all these different berries and fruits to add to the champagne. So you
that's
could
beautiful.
Just pluck a glass of champagne from the wall, add your raspberries or strawberries or blueberries or orange or blackberries, and then go out into the countryside and eat some hog and watch sheep.
It was beautiful. It was delicious. We had so much fun. The houses were gorgeous. Kara and I shared a house.
We did share a house. I also had people, like when I posted on Instagram, were like, what is happening?
People went insane.
People like the whole time.
For 4 days, we were all influencers.
We were all
like collective, like all of Los Angeles and New York was like, what is happening in Suffolk?
I got back to LA the other day.
We should do selects and put them on the so that we're not just so people can see.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can also follow the hashtag no woman, no rye.
Oh, yes. No woman, no rye.
But yeah, I got back to Los Angeles the other day. I went into one of my like favorite restaurants, and one of the waitresses there, who I didn't really like basically came out and was like, oh my God, your wedding. I was like, how do you even know? It's like,
what you always wanted.
I follow Amina from Call Your Girlfriend, and she posted from there, and this was just like this hashtag, so I followed it the entire weekend.
Yeah. It made me think of like one of my favorite movies is the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice.
Obviously. Oh, it's the only good one.
It was a Joe Wright spectacular.
Yeah, there was one more because I was jet lagged. So Amina and I were in a room together. We were up promptly at 5 a.m. And
it was pretty funny.
I was walking around and I was like, this looks like
Pemberley.
The end of Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. So they were walking through the field and I was like, this bitch put me in like.
I took you to Pemberley.
Yes.
That's what I said. I did.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I remember you talking about getting your dress. You were like, I got this deal like months ago on this dress.
Yes.
And so like the anticipation was killing me because I think you had sent a picture.
Yeah.
Like it was like months before you'd send it to me and Amina and you were like, I got this crazy deal. And then I think I kind of like forgot and I was like, I'm not going to go through. I'm going to like wait and see.
And also it was a kind of that point. It was like a contender dress, I think, at that point. I was like, what do you think of this one? So basically I'm not a wedding dress person. I couldn't bear the thought of wearing like a big kind of, tulle thing and, lace and ribbons and things. I just wanted I just wanted a really awesome designer dress that happened to be white. And initially I wasn't actually going to wear white. I was actually going to wear this red Dolce & Gabbana dress. However, then Cardi B wore it and got into a fight with Nicki Minaj at a Harper's Bazaar party. So I kind of didn't want to bring that narrative into the wedding. But I found this beautiful Alexander McQueen dress, which was 90% off.
How is that possible?
Well, so when, the website Natasha Porter, where it sells a lot of designer clothing, when things are then unable to be sold on there and go past their sale, they go to another site called the Outnet, which everyone knows about.
Yes.
However, when things do not sell on the Outnet, there is a third site.
What?
It is called Yukes, and it is spelled YOOX.com.
I've heard about this.
Now,
I didn't realize that was like the next tier.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And the discounts are insanely deep. It's it's ridiculous. This is a $30,000 dress.
How did you find a McQueen wedding dress that fit you for 90% off? And it's beautiful. It's not some weird,
It was, it was a gamble. It was the last one in the world, and it was in my size on the website, but it was also non-returnable.
Oh.
However, I thought at the time if I bought it and it didn't fit, then I would also be able to sell it and turn a profit because cam scams.
Right.
And I got it and tried it on, and it fit. I had some light tailoring, just like pull up the length, and then also like a bit to like take out the waist half an inch, and and it was great. But Yukes.com, it's a very laborious website because it's very poorly designed.
I remember the organization and it looks tacky.
It's,
but
it
they have
terrible
stuff on
they
there.
They have stuff. It's one of these things where, like, just scroll through it while you're watching TV and just, narrow it down by designer. So, just Gucci and then spend, a couple hours going through that. But it's excellent. So that
which
was
she also included, by the way, in the wedding program.
It's true.
There was a note about her dress being a 90% off Alexander McQueen.
Hashtag cam scams. Cam scams.
When you find a bargain, you want to let the people know.
I was sitting there with Eve and we were just like, this woman, like going through the program. Because, you're reading it and it takes, and it's like starts out like, the parents and this is what this is what's going to happen. And And you keep reading. You're like, oh my God.
Asterisk.
Yeah.
I was so impressed.
It was under traditions.
You're
I
so
think.
Proud
yeah.
of yourself. I was so proud of you too. We were all like, what? There was like a collective gasp in the audience.
Do you feel this is very like, I watched a lot of Say Yes to the Dress. Yeah. Like when it first, when it first came out and I was like Kleinfeld and those tacky Panina Tournée dresses. And like, I was in it.
Oh, you are.
I was like, an OG watch. My dad would come in and just sigh. He would like see me watching it and just like, I failed.
He's but like, all those black women.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, look what I've given you.
What about the strong black women?
What about Maya Angelou? We bought you.
You're like, who?
You're like, she's not.
I love Vera Wang. Vera Wang is my queen.
Right. But in the, it's this narrative that like you put on the dress and but I feel like you had like a modern cam millennial version of like of that say yes to the dress thing where like you took this gamble and it fit and it was the dress.
But you did the work, man.
You did that's the thing, like you did the work in the way that like this is like the modern say yes to the dress. It's like a bargain hunting bride.
It truly is, you know? On the internet. It's also like, I love Alexander McQueen. That the thing that I really like about his clothing is that it is like armor and it is designed to make women look and feel stronger.
Yeah.
And there's so much of the narrative surrounding bride that is about kind of being demure
and weakness.
And I wanted the opposite of that. I wanted to walk down the aisle, which I walked down by myself, and I wanted to feel like the baddest bitch in the room.
That was great.
And thank you very much, Lee McQueen. I really
definitely came across. Now in you in the lead up to the wedding though, Cam, did you feel, and we've talked a little bit about this, do we think that the wedding industry, which we are all celebrating right now,
it's great. Okay.
Can we talk about the fact that it's evil and maybe it doesn't cater so much to women of color?
completely ridiculous. And yes, and yeah, and absolutely doesn't cater to women of color. There are, you know, in, you know, the, I mean, all the kind of, you know, wedding magazines and Instagram accounts are very, very white focused. And it's very rare that you will see a minority face, very rare to see a black face, very rare to see a Latina face, very rare to see like Asian women, both like East and Southern. And it is, it definitely kind of feels very alienating, and that it's just like, oh, is marriage not for us? Is this not something that we are, you know?
Well, we have our own
in?
Ethnic weddings.
So. Yeah, that's fine. Niche weddings.
Right, exactly. Niche weddings. Your Jamaican weddings. They're like, see, whatever. I'm going to ride in an elephant. Like, that's the thing. I feel like it's like there are white weddings and there's everything else.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so, and there's this very little kind of room in between. And I think that also, but there was also something quite freeing about that. I felt that I was able to define it the way that I wanted to, and for it to kind of speak more to my identity. But then, you know, there's this, but even outside of that, the things that you can't escape with the wedding industry, regardless of your race. I mean, the weight stuff is debilitating.
Yeah.
The people who I've never met before in my life asking me whether I am shedding for the wedding.
Real, like using that phrase.
Yeah. I also don't think it would have been, I would have been able to stay sane and be on any kind of diet leading up to this thing that's immensely stressful and, you know, is quite, you know, physically depleting. You need croissants, you need carbohydrates, a glass of natural wine a night at least.
I had gelato on the way here.
Yeah.
I was like, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's so hot.
I want some gelato.
It's so hot. And that's the thing, the constant, like, there was a moment when I was talking to you, Camilla, right before your wedding where I was like, oh, you look like you've lost a little weight. I thought, and I joked, I thought you weren't going on a diet. Yeah. I thought there was no like exercise regimen. And you were like, talking me through your incredibly stressful month. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about how much I hate the fact that sometimes when people are going through terrible times, they're thin and everyone tells them they look wonderful.
How wonderful.
And that's so messed up. It's so messed up. I think it happens a lot.
It really does. And I think the physical toll that weddings are an incredibly stressful time. And, you know, I think it just creates anxieties within like family dynamics and especially.
Your wedding planner quit or whatever.
She did. She quit halfway through.
You're planning a wedding halfway around the world. Not to be bougie about it. These are actual problems. It's family. You want to keep your family happy.
Yeah.
Literally are planning a wedding thousands and thousands of miles away where the woman on the ground has just left.
Yes.
That's incredibly
stressful.
And then
your regular life.
And your
job.
Then
my regular life. I have a full-time job, which, you know,
and then everyone's like, you look great. And you're like, I don't have time to eat.
To the point that the physical stress manifested in that basically the day before the weekend began, I actually lost my voice. I was whispering my vows.
Oh,
and
my gosh,
but it was very clearly just like the manifestation of 6 months of absolute terror.
Your makeup looked incredible, by the way.
It really did.
Well, when your father is friends with Charlotte Tilbury, you get to pull that flex.
Can I tell you, I went to Charlotte Tilbury. They just opened a store at the Grove.
And it's I saw the billboard.
Yes. So that's where I went to do my makeup test.
Okay.
So they're very, very sweet.
I need to go. One, they have services, which I need to like partake in. But I was buying lip liner. I bought lip liner and like an eyeshadow. And the girl was asking me what it was for, whatever. And I was like, I'm going to this wedding. And I was like, actually, I think, because I feel like you had mentioned that. I was like, I think the bride has like is going to be wearing Charlotte Tilbury makeup. And this girl was like, what is this wedding?
Right. You're like, the wedding.
I was like, it's the wedding, obviously. But like,
the wedding.
But your makeup looked amazing.
Who do we want to talk about for beauty of the week?
I think my beauty of the week is, I think it's Stormzy, who, you do not know, is a British grime superstar who headlined Glastonbury. And he is the first black solo artist to headline the Glastonbury Festival. And it was just beautiful and incredible. And he is also a, you know, a gorgeous, dark-skinned black man. And looked absolutely stunning.
Such
but
a
it's
nice smile. Not to be a grandma. What a nice smile. He is a great smile.
And just like, you know, an incredibly, you know, an incredibly sweet human. And especially in when grime is viewed as a kind of, you know, aggressive British like subculture, and that the figureheads within it are viewed as thugs, and they are actually, in fact, one of the largest social mobilizers of our kind of British black communities. And I think that his set at Glastonbury really exhibited that in a way that had not been seen by an audience of that size, and was just incredibly beautiful. And he just looked really, really hot.
Did you see the Stormzy's outfit that he wore.
And so the vest that he was wearing was an anti-stab proof vest, which is what police in London have been wearing, because we also had this enormous like surge in knife crime, which actually isn't that enormous, but is also kind of again been fed into by kind of very racist night news trope. So he wore that with a black Union Jack on it that was designed by Banksy, and so he is my beauty of the week.
I feel like the video. So Naomi Campbell,
yes,
who to me is
familiar.
She's familiar. To me, she is the most beautiful woman who's ever existed on earth. I cannot believe she looks the way she looks. I have loved her, like seeing her in like Victoria's Secret catalogs. This like dark skinned woman was like arguably the most helpful thing for my self esteem ever.
I would agree.
Your dad is just giving you Victoria's Secret catalog.
The most beautiful woman to ever live. She has a YouTube channel.
She did a video about her flying habits.
So it shows Naomi in head to toe Burberry,
of course,
getting on a plane, and she's in first class, and she shows us her whole routine, which includes taking like antibacterial wipes and wipes down everything.
Every inch of the pod, like the back, she's wearing her in plastic gloves.
Oh yeah, she wipes on the plastic gloves. Yeah. She wipes everything down. You just see her go through. She has her mask. She has her face mask. She shows you like all of her creams. She shows you all of like everything that she has in like Ziploc bags, which I love.
Yeah.
That like
I love an organized plane bitch.
The woman who invented walking still also uses Ziploc bags to travel like I do.
Yeah.
And she just went through it, and it was just so like you love her.
And
like, listen, she's like, I am a supermodel. I am like, I am singular, and so my behavior is my behavior. And like, I kind of, in this era where celebrities are always trying to like
be relatable, I don't want that for my celebrities.
Like, she's not relatable. Like, she's not really, by definition, she is not relatable. Yeah.
No, but weirdly, you feel closer to her watching that. What was the tweet? It was like, it's amazing how Naomi Campbell is so much more relatable than Tyra Banks, who spent her entire career trying to be our big sister.
Yes.
Right? Yes. I'm like, that's
shout out to Bolu. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, just here's an eccentric person who happens to be beautiful.
Yes.
And it makes me closer to her. It makes me feel close to her in a way that I didn't before. Yeah. It's just fascinating.
It's the most black auntie thing that you've ever seen exhibited. Like every one of our, like, you know, every minority auntie has gone on a plane, comes with their own Dettol wipes. That's just how
also,
they roll.
Also, there's a moment where there's a white woman at the seat behind her.
Naomi's wiping everything down
and she goes, can you do mine next? And you see, like, Naomi, who I assume at this point has just goes through a number of steps in her brain. Yeah, yeah. where she's like, step one, step two, okay, yeah, where are we at before I speak? And she goes, no, but you can use my wipes, yeah, something like that. It was...
Which is a very reasonable... why yes, are you asking this... First of all, woman of color.
Yes, yes.
To clean your seat for you.
It was clearly recording a video. It was clearly Naomi Campbell.
Yeah. Stop trying to insert yourself.
Someone tweeted after this, there's like, this is why she used to slap people.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if there hadn't been a camera there and someone had just told me that story, I'd be like, I mean, fair.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, what are you doing asking her to clean your seat? Have you lost your mind? Has like $10,000 worth of shit on her person, just like wearing on her body, not even in the bag. The bag's not even in this, just on her person. It's like $10,000 worth of goods.
Diamond dust, like a sheen of diamond dust.
Wipe down your chair? Are you crazy?
No way.
Anyway, she's perfect. She has perfect face. I love her so much.
Oh, she's who's better? Nobody's better. Yeah. My beauty of the week is this woman, Bekhana, who has created a movement in South Korea called Solidarity. Have you read about it? It's basically
iconic.
South Korea has a very low birth rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're doing all these silly like propaganda things that are like, families are great. Mm. You should totally have a family. And this woman has started this YouTube channel that's become very popular because she's like, I'm in my mid-30s. I have a job. I don't want a family right now. Why is your only approach guilt?
Yes.
Like right. Maybe if you know, and all these women who are unmarried and 30, you know, in their 30s are like, yeah, that cannot be the only approach. Perhaps if you made it easier for us to have children and have families, if you gave us any sort of social support, paid leave, more pay at work,
child care.
If you provided any of these things, it would be more appealing. What is not working is guilt. And you see that in so many places that have low birth rates, this sort of like, aren't families great approach? I mean, they're going to start doing that here because the birth rate is plateauing, and it's negative now in both South Korea and Japan and in Italy because people are not having kids. There's no environment in which it makes any sense to have children. But you can't Handmaid's Tale these women into having children.
Trying.
It's insane to me.
You know what you do? I think I said this to you once, was you were posting pictures of your baby and I was like, I have to stop watching this because I'm going to just try to find someone to impregnate me because this kid is so cute.
It's ridiculous.
There are a few people that I follow with babies where I'm like, this is
too much.
Actually, this is what they need to put out.
Also, I seek that baby content as well. Yeah. There are lots of like people who have
this discussion about okay babies.
Yeah, okay babies.
Not every baby is cute, guys. Yeah. Maybe to the parent, but not to the world. Yeah.
The thing is, if you Google the Solidarity movement, every headline is this, right? This is from Bloomberg. It says, the no marriage movement is adding to Korea's economic woes. How are single women responsible
for crippling
your entire
economy.
Nation's economic woes? It's insane.
Because the pussy is powerful.
Every country that is experiencing this has the same approach, which is, guys, just have a baby.
America's approach is we're gonna force you to have this fucking baby.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
The guilt is I was 5 business days into marriage before the first person said
what?
To me, you know, so when are you guys going to have a
baby? Asked you that?
Someone asked me this while I had a cocktail in my hand.
Was it someone who knows you or like had just found out that you got married?
Not close enough to.
Oh, but someone you already knew.
Someone I knew. And
so they thought just because you now got married, now like obviously you're married. If you had wanted a kid by now, I would have had a kid.
This is also, by the way, hand in hand with all these studies coming out that saying there, I mean, this is a fact. Yeah. There is no one happier than a woman in her mid-30s who is single and child happier and healthier. They live longer. Yeah. They're happier. 35, no children, no husband. There's no one happier. This is a fact. So how do these two things dovetail? They don't at all. It doesn't make any sense. I, for a woman who is married and has 2 children and did everything on an incredibly conventional, like, a timestamp. Like, I did everything the way I was traditionally supposed to. And not through any pressure. It's just how things worked out. I have still have very aggressive feelings about other people being told they have to. I'm like, do I appreciate tell people. It. I chose to get married when I did. I chose to have kids when I did. Those are choices I made. And even having made those choices, it's still really hard.
Yeah.
So if someone's on the fence about it, let them enjoy their lives. It is not your life.
Also, probably doesn't make for a great parent.
Yeah.
One who's been forced to have a child. I don't think those are the ones that go into motherhood with gusto.
No, absolutely. And they're not exactly raising like wonderful citizens who like exactly. join the workforce with joy. Exactly. They're all like, everyone's troubled in this scenario. It's not good for
also,
anyone.
There's clearly, they're not putting pressure on the men.
Of course not. No. Don't be ridiculous.
They're not in this.
They're not responsible for this equation.
No. If they really wanted babies, they would just make it, they would just pay women like a pension.
Yeah.
You'd be like, have a baby, we'll pay you the money to raise it.
Yeah.
And then the women who like kids would be like, sure.
Yeah.
By myself, great.
Yeah. Right.
But don't make me like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
Anyway,
thank
solidarity.
You.
Love them. Iconic.
Yeah, iconic it's really, really good. I mean, that's all for this weekend last, I guess. That was 2 weeks worth of chatting for sure. Is there anything that you want to talk about? Anything else, Kara, that
anything
you
to plug? Or anything, yeah.
You know.
Or anything just on your
people
beauty
know where
mind.
To find you.
They know where
you're
to find me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You're the queen of the internet.
Oh, God. I don't want that title.
You're the queen of the good internet. You're the good queen. The good queen of the good internet.
The reason that me and Carl are actually friends is because of the internet.
It is.
Really?
And yeah,
oh, my God. Very, yeah. Wait, this is it. So we had been following each other and like interacting. And then it was 4th of July and Cam DM'd me and the pool has like just been installed. And she was like, do you want to come over 4th of July? And I already had said yes to this party like in the hills. And I was like, I think I said like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be sober enough to make it from there to here. But then maybe like a week or two later, it was like a Saturday. She's like, come over. So I come over. Like also you do like a rolling pool thing on the weekends.
I basically, there's a text
up,
that
like,
goes out.
Yeah. She was like, it starts at 3:00. I showed up like at 3:05, you know, like thinking that like it needed to start then, and then didn't leave her home until
like 1 a.m.
1 a.m.
where we were drunkenly
and
eating
that was the
chicken
first time I had met her in person.
Of course.
And I had plans that night, had made plans with a close friend
and then you
to go somewhere.
Them?
No, I got dressed and I said, thank you, Cam and Doug, for inviting me into your home. And then the next thing I know, I'm taking my clothes off and getting back in the pool. And they just were like, you don't want to go to that. Like,
oh,
you don't
no.
want to. And it was like, I literally like everyone's in the pool and I'm like standing dressed.
She was leaving.
And they all just are like, yeah, not yell. You know what I mean? Everyone's just like talking me into it. And I was like,
I'm a big fan of soft peer pressure.
Yes.
I don't kind of, again, I'm very anti-guilt. I just like to present you with a better option.
They were probably like, we're going to order food. Like we've got chicken coming.
I'm just opening this brand new crisply cold bottle of rosé.
And then it was 1 a.m. And I was like, wow, I am in your kitchen still.
Friendship.
Yeah.
So guys, if you slide into Cara's DM, she'll come to your house.
I'll kill you. It's the one good thing to come out of the internet. Yeah.
I mean, the thing I appreciate the most about your internet presence, Cara, and I was saying this earlier, is that I'm a person who, when I get angry, I just shut down and I don't know what to say. Like, I just eject myself from the situation. But when Cara senses injustice or any sort of like righteous indignation, which like is the best, Cara, she is both articulate and amusing. Like, and that's really hard to be like angry and funny at the same time.
It's really difficult. She
in a way
so
that
well.
Makes people feel ridiculous. Every time, and I laugh every time. It's a beaut. I mean, I'm sure everyone follows you already, but what is your handle?
Kara R. Brown. I'm there.
You are there.
In the street.
You're doing God's work, Kara.
Also, by the way, please also visit fancypastabitch.com. Because on top of being like incredibly beautiful and very, very smart and a very talented writer, Kara also loves cooking pasta and does it so, so well, and also writes this great blog where she writes about the pasta that she makes, and it's also hilarious, and it's just follow it. Just go to fancypastabitch.com. I can't explain this to you. Just go.
It's there.
Yes.
Made some pesto last week. And stop on the site.
Yes. Thank you, Tara, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Yay. Thanks, guys.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.